My name's Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
Now they're covered with mold and maggots.
That's dirty.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
So, how'd we do? Now, get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs, I've been working on the railroad.
Do they have to do that?
Repairing the steel highway that ties the country together.
Just drop it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then.
Are these large intestines or small intestines?
In a Cajun country kitchen.
Man.
I'm cooking up some tasty local cuisine.
That's good.
The main ingredient? Fat. Lots and lots of frozen fat.
Fat is money.
And later.
Ow, ow, ow.
I work my fingers to the bone, learning the strange and stinky job of the skull cleaner.
The stink is so fine that it pierces the gloves.
Great news. Great news, Jay. Oh, God.
Train engineer has an exciting job. Get to blow that big horn and haul tons of raw material and goods around the country. Today, I'm not doing that job. No, I'm doing something they used to call Gandhi dancing.
So this is Shane to my right. He's an engineer, and this is Quinn. He's a student here at the MODOC Academy, and this is a, this is a railroad track, right, Shane?
Yep.
See, that much I do know. Where are we, exactly?
We're in Sutter County, north of Sacramento.
Yeah?
And we're at the MODOC Railroad Academy.
Yeah.
So, we're here to do track work.
So, basically, Shane, I'm thinking X marks the spot, and this is where we're going to be working.
Oh, yeah, it does. We're going to be working on this tie right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the end's all frayed out, and it's just in bad condition.
All right, so, do we repair the tie, or do we replace the tie?
We replace it.
Now, is this a complicated process, getting a tie from underneath the railroad track?
No, it is not complicated. It's just a lot of work.
What does Gandhi dancer mean? Because that's a term I keep hearing thrown around.
Well, way back before they had mechanical means to replace ties, there was a group of men, and they were Gandhi dancers. Well, they went and lined track, so they made it straight again. This is a lining bar, which they would use to put under the rail there. And they'd do a little song, and at certain points in the song, they could exert everybody's effort at the one time to move the track, you know, side to side.
Will we be singing today?
No, we won't.
Will there be dancing?
No dancing.
No
unless
singing,
you, unless
no dancing.
Unless you really want to.
No, I'm just trying to, you know, get the nomenclature straight.
Okay.
But I think I basically understand the task at hand. We need to replace two of these creosote ties.
Yeah.
We need to dig them out. We need to pull them out. We need to pop them back in.
Yeah.
The first order of the day was to remove the spikes that hold the rails to the ties.
I guess wood's just so rotted, right?
Yeah.
Slides right out. Well, as some famous Greek guy said, give me a big enough lever, I can move the world.
Yeah, that's all you got's a big lever. Yeah, you can take that out. Ice.
Did you call him Ice?
Ice, so he got his nickname's Ice, so.
So Quinn is Ice?
Yeah.
Iceman.
Iceman?
Ice Man.
Right. You got a nickname?
Not yet.
No, me either.
Still working on that.
Good God, it's going to be hot today. You always work in the middle of the day like this when it's 100 degrees?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, we do come out here at night when it's a little cooler, but most anywhere else on a railroad, it's in the day.
Yeah. Okay.
So the next process is to remove the ballast between the ties. And from that end, we're going to slide them out that way.
The ballast, this stuff.
Yeah, the ballast. It keeps the ties from moving, and it stabilizes the railroad track.
Why do you call it ballast?
It's the name it was given, is ballast.
Because I got to tell you, it looks a lot like rock.
There are over a billion of these cross ties in today's rail system. and this is the only way to replace them. It's tedious, back-breaking manual labor. And these guys do it every day.
Do they have to do that? You know, if they cared, they could slow down, hop out, pick up a shovel, make an honest day's wage.
Oh, not them.
No, they're all busy delivering freight.
Yeah. They're too good to shovel rock.
Yeah. Fancy freight engineer. Kind of like a chain gang.
Yeah, it is.
Except we haven't committed any crimes. You know, I mean, this track's been here for how long?
Oh, it's probably been here good at least 60 years.
Yeah? So. I mean, digging through here, as you do every day, you ever find anything of value?
Find old parts, but couldn't be the worst thing you'd ever find.
What's the worst thing you ever find?
Well, probably 20 years ago, all the trains, their toilets just used to dump straight on the tracks.
Oh.
So you get a big passenger train, you could find plenty of white stripes of paper down the rails. And
that's terrible.
Yeah.
You're telling me these fancy, high-priced passenger trains that everybody... I mean, that was like the way to travel 30, 40 years ago, right? Their toilets just dumped on the track?
If you stood there and flushed it, you could see right down to the ties.
That ain't cool.
No, it's not. And it's not the best thing to find on a hot day.
You know who you're talking to? I know about poo on hot days.
Yeah.
This?
Well, that book is from Union Pacific Railroad, and it's their on-the-job training guide for track maintenance.
For new employees?
Yep.
Is this part of the curriculum here at the school?
Yeah, we go through that.
Interesting. Track structure components. Well, let's see. You're a graduate. How many steps are involved in driving a spike?
I think there's 15 steps.
You're absolutely right. 15 steps. I figure you just stick it in there and hit it real hard with the end of the hammer.
Oh, no.
I might have to refer back to this from time to time.
All right.
Just to make sure we're doing it right.
Yeah.
Well, we finally got the ballast out. Now, how do we get the ties from underneath the rails? Well, I'm sure Shane and his crew have an easy solution.
Here you go. These aren't for pulling teeth either.
What in the heck is this?
These are tie tongs. And they are for moving ties or timbers. So.
Okay, I get it.
Yep, it's stuck. You're not going nowhere. Now we get the jacks and lift it up, lift the rails up with the other track and then slide them out.
Great. Let's get the jacks going.
Coming up,
15 steps on how to drive in a spike.
The long-forgotten art of spike driving.
Yeah, you know it when you hit it right. You know it when you hit it wrong. Whoops.
Then,
these are pig intestines.
It's the nacho intestines.
The recipe for Boudin sausage has a few surprises.
Whoa!
Okay.
What the heck happened? You put a little turbo Boudin there.
Hey.
And later.
This is where we process the tissue from the skulls.
They're a skull cleaner's best friend. They're flesh-eating beetles.
Working the beetles, it's a real job.
It sure is.
You broke it!
Sean and I jacked up the track a little so we could slide the cross ties out from underneath. Then he let me experience the joys of railroad work all by myself. Whether a student wants to be an engineer or a conductor, they all start here, on the tracks, busting their chops.
Oh, wow. That's a rotten tie.
Yeah.
Yet, it's still rather heavy.
New ones weigh on average probably 300 pounds for a new tie that size.
Really?
So.
That's a lot of wood.
It is.
A lot of rock.
We'll lower these jacks down, and then we'll finish raking the rock out and getting it a little further down. You pull that back, and when you lower this, you'll feel it. It'll go back and catch.
So just keep this pulled back as I lower it?
And then when okay. So now make sure everything's clear.
Sheesh.
It's going down. So now we can...
A little railroad joke there, wasn't it? Yeah. You just make the funny man jump out of his steel-toed boots.
Yeah.
All right.
Time to install the new ties. These are 10 feet long instead of the normal 8 feet because these have to go under 4 rails at the switching point.
All right. Ready to roll it?
We're just going to just drop it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Oh, that's where it flies up between my legs. That's awkward, too.
We'll try not to do it. He can get it from there.
Okay.
Okay. There we go.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Look at beautiful.
That. Oh, no. You're not going to tell me this is our hammer.
That is your hammer. You can use the big end. That end.
I mean, there's not a whole lot of margin for error. Ideally, you got to get that.
Yep.
On that.
Oh, yes. That on that.
It's not about getting close. You got to hit it square on the money. It's nipped up, Shane. Now, show me how they do it in the big leagues, would you? Look at that. 4 hits. All right, well, there it is, my trusty manual, right here on page 73. 15 steps on how to drive in a spike. Plug all spike holes with cedar tie plugs or other approved filler. We did that.
Did that.
Remove ballast from the tie plate surface to prevent rocks from flying up when spiking. We did that. Hold spike upright and all fingers away from the rail. Tap the spike with the maul to ensure the spike is firmly seated in the tie without swinging the maul fully. Place one hand near the end of the handle furthest away from the spike maul head and the other 3/4 of the way up the handle. Okay. Stand about the length of the spike maul away from the spike. Raise the maul to shoulder height. Swing the spike maul downward, sliding the hand in the center.
Good God! There's only 18 more.
Uh-oh.
Whoops.
Usually, you want to try not to sit on the rail either. So, you're always hunched over and...
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to sit somewhere. And
yeah, I know.
The rail was the closest thing to my ass. Okay, here they are.
Last one.
The last 6 swings of the day. If you're keeping track at home, I'm 0 for something. Yeah, you know it when you hit it right. You know it when you hit it wrong.
No.
Now, this is nothing short of unfortunate. I would like to apologize to Shane, to Iceman, and to the entire railroad system, because I can assure you, the job is not only dirty, it is currently being done by a raging incompetent.
With the spikes in place, it was now time to replace the ballast that we had removed earlier.
So I'd say probably... I don't know, we'll park it. And that's probably good for now.
We added clean rocks between the new ties because the old rocks are caked with dirt. That means rainwater won't properly drain through them, and that can cause the new ties to rot.
So basically, in a nutshell, we have successfully replaced 2 ties.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled out spikes, we got rid of old ties, we put in new ties, jacked up the track, hammered in the new spikes, dumped a couple tons of rock, and spread it around and tamped it in.
Yeah.
Anything else to do?
Well, just the test.
The test?
This would be the test that Shane's talking about.
I think I'm done.
Coming up.
These are pig intestines.
Down in the bayou, Boudin sausage is handmade, one link at a time.
Whoa!
Okay.
What the heck happened? You put a little turbo Boudin there.
There are all sorts of little places like this down here in the Louisiana Bayou. Roadside restaurants where you can get Boudin and crackling. Now, I think Boudin is a kind of sausage? Crackling? I don't know. But according to this sign, the king of crackling lives inside. I bet he knows. Hello.
Hey.
I'm looking for the crackling king.
You got him right here.
How are you?
I'm Rocky Sonier.
Rocky, Mike Rowe.
Hello,
nice
Mike.
To meet you. What's crackling?
It's some fried ham skins. You know, like when you buy a ham, a cured ham, they cut the skins off of the hams.
Right.
And that's what we fry in hog lard.
That's crackling.
100% natural. 100% natural fat fried in 100% natural hog lard.
So is lightning.
Boudin is the fried pork meat, the pork liver. You boil it. And after you boil it, you bring it inside and you grind it up and you mix it with some rice.
Uh-huh.
And then with onion tops, and you mix it all up and you put that in a natural intestine.
Our first step was to take the boiled liver out of the cook pot. The liver is boiled in a burlap sack to keep it from breaking apart.
Just bring it inside, brother, and go in the grind in the Boudin room.
In the Boudin. So this is Boudin and not crackling. We're making Boudin.
We're making Boudin today. This is the casing. This is what we're going to set the Boudin in.
Casings?
Yes. This is the...
These are pig intestines.
It's the natural intestines. They're all cured and clean and ready to go.
How do you clean an intestine?
A salt solution. You eat sausage?
I do enjoy sausage.
That's all in natural intestine. I'm going to do this one, and I'm going to let you do it.
All right, I'll watch.
I'm checking something else, all right? Then you just put it over.
So the job here is to separate all the intestines, basically.
That's right. Okay, just get you one of them and just do it like I've done here. I'm going to go get some in the back, okay?
You go ahead.
Got data, brother.
I'll be right here. Phyllis will keep an eye on me.
Phyllis and her cousin, Jandy, work part-time for Rocky. And like Rocky, they're true Cajuns.
Are these large intestines, Phyllis, or small intestines?
I would say that's large.
I would say you're right. I've been pulling this thing now for 5 minutes, Rocky. There we go. Look at that. One serious intestine.
White rice and yellow and green onions are also essential ingredients for Boudin. This is the meat that was boiled along with the liver. The meat has connective tissue, so it doesn't need to be boiled in burlap.
And just put it in there real slow, okay?
Ready? I got it. Well, I think so. What am I doing? Am I pushing or holding the plate? All right. Oh, okay.
Put a little bit in at a time.
Oh, yeah. I'm holding the plate so it doesn't go flying into your eye.
Yeah.
After the liver and pork meat are ground up, I'm sent outside for the next ingredient.
I'm getting the broth and straining the broth and then dumping it into yet another container. Hot. Hot.
The broth used to boil the liver will add flavor to the sausage.
Okay.
Put it in the Boudin.
Oh, in here?
Yeah.
Man, I thought you said that other container.
No, put it in there.
God, that was almost a colossal misunderstanding.
All of the sausage ingredients must be thoroughly mixed.
All that rice, all that onion.
After it's all mixed up, it's put into this thing.
That's called a water cylinder?
That's right.
Why we put everything into the water cylinder, I don't know. I don't want to know, but I'm about to find out.
It's almost full, Rock. In fact, I think it is full.
This is what we're going to put the casing on. Just slide it right on there.
Now that's a motion I'm familiar with. How many intestines do you put on?
Yeah, sometimes one of them will fill it up. It depends on how long. You remember that long one you had a while ago?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to call that pretty full right now.
I would.
See? That's about the size we do them. There's one.
Uh-huh. Two. So what's happening? Water is forcing this through?
Right, they have a cylinder in here, and the water pushes the cylinder up.
So you're taking, what would you call that, maybe a 6-inch hunk of meat?
5-inch, 6-inch. This is 100 pounds, and there's about 3 links to a pound average.
Mm-hmm.
The link of Boudin costs about $1.25,
mm-hmm.
$3.49 a pound.
How many of these things would you say you've made in your...
Links?
Yeah.
I would think we made over a million links, brother.
So I'm going to pull this, like so?
Yeah, pull it. Pull it.
Whoa.
Go ahead.
Just more? Or what?
Well, you know what?
Just kind of give it a little twist.
Yeah, now you can twist it right now.
Yeah.
Catch the end of it.
Catch the end.
Now twist.
Oh, I see, like that.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay, now you pull that one out.
pull this one
and
out.
And I make another one. Okay. It takes a while. Don't worry. Okay.
Why did I do that twice like that? That was dumb.
No, you messed up.
That was dumb, but I thought I saw you do that. That's too long.
That's cool. That's good. That's good. That's also right. About a pound. It doesn't work.
Look at that. That is a big, long,
thick piece of meat. Okay, that's one.
One.
You let that go over there.
Let it go.
Right. Okay, no, put you another one.
Oh, and then you just give it a little pull.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you pull
that's
as you fill it up.
You pull it. Oh, crap, yeah. I tore it.
You tear it up.
That's, so.
Put your hand underneath and kind of let it slide up like that.
Let the meat slide in your hand.
Okay. I
call that two.
Give now you see? Pull. Couple of weeks, you'll have it, yeah. Hold it.
Three, give it a little pull. Call that four. Okay. Give it a little pull. Oh!
Too far.
I did go too far.
Right, make another link. You can have a five link. Nobody got hurt.
You don't mind? Well, here we are. Why don't
I
can just make a little separation. That's stupid.
You ready to finish that case?
Whoa!
Okay.
What the heck happened? You put a little turbo boo down
there. That's all right. Hey, just do what you were doing a while ago. Relink it, bro.
That startled me. That's off-putting when a big tube of meat comes flying right at you like that.
The boudin also have to be cut and then hung up to cool.
In the middle. We put them on here.
Uh-huh. So that's why it's important always to make a strand with an
correct.
Even number.
Like that.
I was much better at this part, mainly because it's much harder to mess it up.
What is the point of hanging the boudin?
The boudin, as you know, is steaming hot right now.
Yeah.
You just need to let it hang and let it cool off before you put it directly in the cooler.
Coming up.
Look at that, a square pig.
This little piggy gets salted, boiled, and fried.
Man!
Bad day to be a pig. But later...
What is this?
It's a good day to be a scald.
Ow, ow, ow.
Especially if you need a hot bath.
Well, yesterday I did something very bad to a pig and called it boudin. Today I'm going to do something even worse. Cracklin', anyone?
In these parts, if you want to learn how to cook cracklin', you go see Rocky. He's a cracklin' king.
Morning, fellas.
It's that Mike again.
How are you?
Good morning to you.
Nice cabin up there. I felt like I was a five-star fancy hotel.
Right.
Five-star.
Five.
Who's this?
This is my son, Balin.
Balin?
Nice to meet you.
You?
Eli.
Eli, that's my godchild.
All right, what are we going to do? We're going to mess up a pig, aren't we? This pig, it's not alive right now, is it? Yeah. It's like Christmas.
It's just like the skin all pressed together.
Is this a different pig or a series of pigs we got?
Most likely a series of pigs.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Right. Nothing says warm and toasty like a millimeter of latex.
Yeah. Push it back over here, and it's all in the hip. You take the pig, and it's all in the hip.
Now, you make it look dirty. What are you doing to that pig?
Hey, go on the edge of the pig, and it's all in the hip.
But this is what we're talking about. It's basically it looks like a giant piece of bacon.
Yep, overgrown bacon.
And cold.
They get pretty cold, but after about five boxes, you can't feel your hands. So.
That's great. There you go. Get it all on there. What the heck? Be a shame to leave any fat behind.
No. Fat is money.
Say that again. I just like the way it sounds.
Fat is money. There you go.
Oh!
Like that.
Well, that's why they call it crackling. I would guess.
Yeah.
Man.
Getting warm quick.
This is very different than making French fries. Whew! Hot.
So your hands aren't cold anymore, huh?
No, my hands are not cold at this point in time. My right knee's about to go up in flames, though. Now, does one whole box go into one kettle?
Yeah. Hot?
Yeah, it's hot. Yeah, this job is both very hot and very cold.
Yeah. It has its moment.
I believe I just had one.
It all goes in.
It all goes in. Everything's good.
And you don't want to miss any because why?
Fat is money.
Fat is money. How long they cook?
For about an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes.
All right.
And then we take them out again, let the grease get back hotter to 435, 425, and put them back in.
Good grief. How long do they cook in that
situation? For like a minute, 2 minutes. Not long at all.
Flash yeah. Fry.
I'll make them fluff up.
There's nothing to do at this point? You just
stir them.
You could stir them right now to get them all over.
Did you say stare at them?
Stir them.
Oh, stir them.
Stir them.
Because I'm all about staring at stuff, but I just can't imagine what we're going to accomplish. You don't put a lid on them?
No, open air.
So all the neighbors can enjoy the aroma. This is nice, the way the pig's starting to melt on me. Goes right through the shirt, into the skin. That's good.
It cools you off.
Yeah, it's refreshing. Now, crackling and pork rinds, it's the same thing?
Basically the same thing, but they don't have fat. It's just the pork skin. And this has the fat and the skin on them.
So that's what makes this special, fat and skin.
Yeah, that's the difference.
We had some time to kill while the crackling cooked, but in a kitchen, there's always something that needs doing. In this kitchen, that something was cleaning the fat off a bandsaw.
When it's frozen and in little tiny pieces, it has a certain charm about it, like a snowflake almost. But as it starts to melt, it's pretty much just fat. That's fat from a recently slaughtered pig. I'm covered in it right now and it's melting, seeping into my clothing and oozing into my skin.
Scoop them out, let them drain, throw them in the bucket.
How do you know they're ready?
They start to float. See the little eyes on them?
Little
bubbles.
Now, what makes them float? Is it the air?
The air
going in it?
And the crackling, yeah.
How do you know if it all gets done evenly? Like, is the top hotter than the bottom or vice versa?
That's why you keep stirring them. It keeps them even. Keep
right.
The top cooking as fast as the bottom.
Ow.
Might be a little hot.
Yeah, I guess maybe. So now what?
The grease is ready to put them in. It's at 4:30. And once you put them in, these little eyes should all pop, and they'll get fluffy, and they'll start to float.
Right now it's got eyes on them. And the reason we're putting them back in is to make the eyes pop?
Make the eyes pop. And
okay.
Make a bunch more.
Heavier than I thought it'd be. Oh, yeah, they're crackling.
There they go.
A minute or so later, the cracklin was ready to be taken out of the grease for good.
Now, should I be in a rush to get these out?
Yeah, as fast as you can.
What happens if they stay in too long?
They'll start to burn and turn brown.
That's bad, right?
Yeah, they don't taste as good.
Finally, we spread the cracklin out on newspaper and blotted it to remove excess grease.
That's a batch of cracklin?
Batch of cracklin.
Eli, how'd we do?
I'll tell you in a minute. Pretty good.
You look right in there, see their little tiny explosions. Each time one of those things goes pop, you got crackle. Skin here, fat here, and that's meat.
And the meat.
That's good.
Well, yeah.
A little meat, a little fat, a little skin. Snap, crackle, pop.
Coming up,
flesh-eating beetles.
Bugs. Bones.
Ugh.
And the head of a bison.
Ugh.
Just another day at the Skull Cleaners.
Mike, if you want a dirty job, we got a dirty job for you. Here at Skulls Unlimited, we process over 2,000 animal skulls a month. You won't believe what it takes to get a skull this clean. It's a really dirty, dirty job.
From museums to classrooms, the scientific skeleton is a common sight, a benign reminder of our methodical approach to understanding nature. But those skeletons don't come in tidy, shrink-wrapped boxes. They were once covered in flesh, and to transform a decaying carcass into a handsome, white scientific display, well, that requires a lot of work and a very strong stomach. Skulls Unlimited in Oklahoma City does this dirty work at an epic scale, cleaning and selling over 20,000 skulls and skeletons every year of every imaginable species. Their work is the kind of noble task that might be best observed from a great distance. But today, I'm going to get a close-up look of what it really means to be a skull cleaner.
This is Jay, and Jay runs the show here at Skulls Unlimited.
Yes, sir.
Which is a remarkable business. I don't even know where to begin, but let's start with the obvious. What is this?
This is a boil here. We boil our larger skulls to remove the tissue.
Do you smell this?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Specifically, what is in there?
There's bison skulls and there's a horse skeleton that we're going to work today.
You have an entire horse skeleton?
Entire horse skeleton's in here.
And the head of a bison?
Several bison.
It's kind of weird. All right, so the water's going down. That's obviously the horn of the head of the bison.
Let's start with this one. Oh, you gotta let it drip.
Oh, you just reach in and grab the thing?
Well, kinda. It's hot. Look at the maggots all floating on top. And what you're looking at here is mainly an oil that's floating across the top. If you kind of stir it up, you can see.
Did the oil come out of the carcass, or did you add the oil?
No, the oil's come out of the meat and the bone. This was clean water yesterday. And as you can see,
That's not clean. What is this?
That's just a cinder block to hold down.
Oh. I was going to say, it's a very rare species.
If you want to grab that side, Mike, we can get ahead and pull this up, and we'll lean it on here for a moment.
Okay. Ow.
Ow, ow, ow.
Ow, 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 ow.
Now just let it kind of sit here for a moment. It'll cool down. You can grab it right there, and we'll just move it over to the table.
Hot, 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 hot. That is one hot bison head.
Is there a difference between a buffalo and a bison?
No, it's the same thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
One, two, three.
There we go.
So we're looking at ribs here, basically.
Yeah. What we'll do from this point is we'll hand-pick as much meat off of this as we can, and then from there we'll put it into our beetles.
Your what?
Our beetles. We have insects that eat the tissue from the bones.
Where am I exactly?
You're in the beetle room, the bug room. This is where we process the tissue from the skulls. Once they dry on that rack for 24 to 48 hours, we put them into these tanks where dermestid beetles, or carrion beetles, sit and...
Flesh-eating beetles. You
flesh-eating
just
did
the
beetles.
Old bare hand routine, doesn't
it? Oh, yeah. It doesn't bother you.
So these little guys are stripping this thing to the bone.
Yes, they are.
Probably more effectively than just about any tool.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get the beetles?
We actually breed our beetles right here. They're born here as an egg. They develop into a pupa, the larva, in three different stages, and then from there they turn into the adult beetles. Basically what we do is we just pick up the skulls, we just pretty much just shake them off. Just look, make sure the tissue's removed. Any little bit of tissue that's left behind, they'll catch that on the finishing tables. Once the skulls are finished, there's no meat left. We have to get them out and get fresh skulls back in because we're trying to run a business here. We got to get them out and get the next skull in.
Right. Skulls are waiting. Chop, chop, people.
They certainly are.
In addition to its human workforce...
They really hang on, the beetles.
Skulls Unlimited employs millions of these dermestid beetles. A small colony kept in its own glass case will strip a skull clean in about 48 hours.
You broke it!
Working the beetles, it's a real job.
It sure is.
Though their customers always order a particular type of skull, the beetles themselves, not so picky. They'll dine on anything you drop in the tank.
Like they're still on.
Yep. And they'll always stay. You'll never get them all off.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was looking for. That's the kind of built-in excuse that I thrive on. So where's this skull go now?
From here, we're going to wash it down, and then it's going to go into our chemical baths for whitening.
It's like peroxide?
It's hydrogen peroxide.
Okay.
Yep. From here, we just set them in. They'll start foaming up. The peroxide will be reacting to it.
Chemically, what's happening?
It's oxygenating the bone, which is going to be clearing out the impurities, and it will cause the bone to turn white.
We want them to sink, right?
Yeah, we want them to sink.
Okay.
You'll need to get your hands washed here when you're done, or it will cause a burn. And the next ones here, this is where they are, where they come out of the peroxide.
Right.
And they come out looking a whole lot different than they did when they went in.
I guess they do.
And there you go.
A bear. Brand new and shiny.
After it dries, if it's not the way we like it, it's going to need to go into our degreasers. And then from there, it'll be finished. Even though we have so much in the building, it takes about 4 months to do one skull.
Huh. 4 months from the minute you get it to the minute it's ready to be shipped out.
Exactly.
Coming up.
Take a good whiff.
Things at the skull cleaners get bigger and badder.
Ugh. Now we got to get in there and scoop out all the...
Why? Why does it have to be scooped out?
Oh!
Not all the action happens indoors here at Skulls International. Today, big things were happening outside.
What in the world happened here?
This is a 42-foot humpback whale that we just brought back from Cape Cod.
Look at the... What is this thing?
This is a scapula, or its shoulder blade.
This is every part of a giant whale?
Of a giant whale. The rest of them still in the truck. They're taking them out now.
What the heck is this?
That's a mandible.
That's its jaw?
That's its jawbone, yep.
And this is its shoulder, and this is who knows what. You're going to put this whole thing together for your museum, I guess?
Yeah, we're going to put this together for our museum. These are the vertebra.
Look at that. It looks like a propeller.
Yes, it does.
That's part of the backbone.
That's one backbone. One vertebra.
One vertebra in the backbone of one humpback whale.
One humpback whale, yep.
This is just enormous. Man. Very cool. Now, you know what all these are, obviously,
right? Oh, yes,
right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is what you do. You look at this and you go, oh, Mike, that's a...
axis.
Axis.
Second vertebra in its neck.
Mm.
It's the first.
Right.
This is where the skull attaches.
So these two would kind of go together.
These would attach together just like that. Great. Jump in there and grab that, Mike, for you can feel how heavy that thing is.
Whaling has been banned in North America for about 40 years.
Wow.
So, whale skeletons are not easy to come by.
Big whale. So this is basically all calcium, right?
It is.
But this humpback whale washed ashore on Cape Cod and died of natural causes.
Look at that. What's the big giant thing?
That is its skull. That's about an 800-pound skull. Well, I'm in the way.
Yeah, that's a fragile part.
Okay, set her down. Now we're going to lift again and go back up. Okay, a little more. Go up. Down. Okay, now we can let gravity work with us.
It'll take about a year to clean and bleach all the bones. Then they'll be assembled in Jay's museum.
That was easy.
Yeah. So what am I looking at? I mean, what's the top? What's the bottom? How's it all work?
This is the bottom. This is where the baleen would lay right in here. So this is the roof of its mouth.
This is one small section of the mouth of a very large baleen whale. This is actually the baleen, and it's pretty ingenious. This is what the inside of their mouth looks like. This is keratin, essentially, and this whole area would be full of it. They feed by swimming around with their mouth open. They capture the seawater in their open mouth, and then they close their mouth, forcing the seawater through this keratin and out through these vents, which would be positioned on the outside of the whale like this. So they're constantly filtering. Then all they do is swallow, and when they do that, down goes all of the krill that they capture in the keratin. It's an ingenious filtering system. Unfortunately, the baleen whale does not floss. So what are we going to do, Jay? We're going to clean the head?
We're going to power wash the skull down. We're going to try to get some of the oils and the dirt off the skull.
The recovery, cleaning, and articulation of this specimen will cost Skulls Unlimited about $10,000. That is, if I don't screw it up.
Is there anything to worry about? Can I hurt it?
Not really. Just start, and as soon as you get into it, just see what the shoes are going to do, and then you can get real close to it.
Right.
And if you see yourself doing some damage, stop.
Sure.
See, you're cutting into the bone a little bit there.
Right there.
So, yeah, but just back off a little bit.
So more of an angle?
Probably.
It was nice to be out in the fresh air, cleaning the bones of this mammoth beast of the sea. I gladly would have done this for the rest of the day, but Jay had other plans for me inside the skull factory.
So, Jay, what's in the container?
This is a capybara skeleton.
What's a capybara?
It's the world's largest rodent.
Why is it in the container?
because we rot the meat off in water. It's called maceration. It's by far the worst stink that this company produces.
What makes it so doggone stinky?
Well, let's take a look. Take a good whiff.
It's like a, well, it's a marinated rat, isn't it?
It's a marinated rat. Marination and maceration, very close.
Rotting underneath the water.
Yes.
Is what maceration is.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. What do we do at this juncture?
We gotta dump the water out and pull the bones out.
God!
We're gonna dump it through these screens.
That's...
And capture the bones.
Fantastic.
We wanna kinda go a little slow because we don't wanna, there's no splashing in the pool.
No. Ugh.
There comes the smell.
Oh!
Now we gotta get in there and scoop out all the...
Why? Why does it have to be
scooped out? We gotta have every last bone. It's not a capybara skeleton unless they're all the parts are there.
Well, perhaps another shake.
That goes with that.
Look familiar? What do you do now with the...
We wash the bones down.
Great. You ever throw up in here?
I've thrown up only twice in my whole career.
Really?
Yep.
What caused you to poop?
The boil. Very early in the morning, it just wasn't quite right for my stomach that morning.
Is that right?
Out of probably 3,000-4,000 boils in my whole life, I've only thrown up twice. Now, the wonderful thing about this is after you take off your gloves and you wash your hands, your hands are still going to smell like the maceration. The stink is so fine that it pierces the gloves.
Great news. Great news, Jay.
So 2 days from now, you're still going to smell the maceration.
Super. And here we have the finished product, or products. Their flesh is gone, their brains have been sucked out and gone down the drain, but thanks to Jay and the folks here at Skulls Unlimited International, these animals have never been cleaner. Of course, the smell, it's still with me. This is the part of the show where I throw myself at your mercy and beg you to go to discovery.com/dirty jobs to give us all of your ideas for dirty jobs that we haven't yet done. So, please go to discovery.com/dirty jobs and give us all your ideas for dirty jobs that we haven't yet done. Thank you. Three, two, one. Actually, the history of sausage parallels the recorded history of man and civilization. For as long as man has been carnivorous... I think this is a good look for me.
Okay, yeah. Okay, brother.
It sums up our show very nicely.